Tom Jensen from Public Policy Polling joins us now on the air with the election just a couple of weeks away. Tom, how's it going?
Good, Aaron. Good to be with you.
Are you ready for this election to be done?
Yeah, I mean, right now we truly have about 25 polls running every night. Mm. So that is a lot, and we will be glad when it's over.
And just in general, as someone who follows the election, and I know we've talked about this before, and you've been following it closer than anybody else, this is not just a drawn-out election, but also it's been a very negative one as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, one thing we were talking about in the office this week is the 2012 election had so many things about it that were funny. I mean, they might have been stupid, but over the course of the campaign, you had fights about Big Bird and fights about Etch-a-Sketches and that kind of thing. And this campaign has really been sort of utterly humorless.
We did have a fan this week in Florida,
yes,
so there was that.
Yes. Yes, the fan was the best thing to happen yet this campaign, and we really could have used something like that in North Carolina at some point. But it has. It's been an election. And another thing that, you know, as we start reflecting near the end, if you want to talk about what issues the 2014 election were about in this country, it's hard to really say. It hasn't really been, it has not been about any sort of grand vision for America. It's really just been you know, people sniping at each other, and it's really, overall, it's just been a joyless election cycle. So I think we will all benefit from it being over, and it may make all of us who live in the political world, we may be happier people a month from now than we are today.
And it really is, and just sort of thinking about that and extrapolating from that, it's really been about two sides, each without a vision, trying to convince us that the other side has an evil vision.
Yeah, that's
almost
absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the average North Carolina voter, especially the undecided, you're really not seeing anything positive about any candidate if you watch TV right now. I mean, I was watching the Panthers last weekend, and every commercial break, it's like there'd be two negative ads against Tillis, one negative ad against Hagan. And when you think about people on the fence trying to figure it out, really the only way you could possibly decide is, well, who did I develop a less negative opinion of from this nonstop torrent of negative ads? Because there's nothing positive to vote on.
So that's what's been going on, and we've been seeing it in North Carolina, obviously, and around the country, too. Public Policy Polling did a couple of surveys of Idaho and Kansas this past week, and these are two states that we would think of generally as being very conservative, and I think Idaho in particular. And this year, both of them have high-profile races, which, for a variety of reasons, are very close, or appear to be, at least at this point. What is going on in Idaho and Kansas?
Well, I think what is sort of fascinating about Idaho and Kansas is that it's indicative of the fact that even though overall it's a good year for Republicans and those are Republican states, voters are so unhappy with their politicians that you have situations in those two states where voters are contemplating dumping their incumbent governors in both states. They're contemplating dumping their incumbent senator in Kansas. And that, you know, even though at the congressional level and the legislative level, most people are just going to get reelected, even though voters are unhappy because the districts are so either heavily Democratic or heavily Republican, these governor's races are helping to show really how strong that anti-incumbent mood is and how, in a lot of places, voters being so unhappy with the status quo is outweighing even their normal partisan affiliations. Nevertheless, it's starting to look more and more like those in those states, like partisanship is going to win out in the end. In Kansas, the Republican incumbent Sam Brownback has been down in the polls all year for governor, but this poll we found him tied and things moving in his direction. And then in Idaho, the Republican governor Butch Otter, one of the most interesting names for a governor in the country anyway, is unpopular as well. But we're starting to see their Republicans come back around as well. So it's going to be interesting to see when we actually get to Election Day if any of these Democrats who have been polling surprisingly well in red states actually end up winning, and if any Republicans who have been polling surprisingly well in blue states end up winning. For instance, there have been a lot of polls showing Republicans leading the governor's races in states like Illinois and Massachusetts and Connecticut that are pretty reliably Democratic. But those places are starting to sort of fall more into line with how the states usually vote, too. So it could be that at the end of the day, things generally just go how you would usually expect them to.
Now, I know we're speaking with Tom Jensen, by the way, Director of Public Policy Polling. I know, Tom, as you're doing surveys of races statewide and national, you're also surveying people about opinions on issues as well. And I was wondering if you have a sense of, you know, voters don't really seem to like the incumbent. They don't like the alternatives that are being presented to them on the ballot. But is there any sense that you're getting that there's something that people do want? If there was a candidate or a movement that came forward and said, here's our platform, is there any platform out there that can be presented that voters want to see?
Well, it's interesting. Voters, I think, really have voters more so than the politicians themselves have a mix of views that are sort of liberal on some issues and conservative on others. For instance, I think the best issue for Republicans, even though it's become less of a thing towards the end, has been overall unhappiness with Obamacare. I think voters would support an alternative to that. At the same time, voters do support Medicaid expansion. They do support increasing the minimum wage. But you don't have any candidates, for the most part, who combine that mix of views that's sort of more eclectic, taking positions that in some instances are more sort of Democratic positions and then other positions that are sort of more Republican positions. You just really don't see anywhere out there doing that, and that's how we get to be so polarized.
And turning from the national side of things to the state side, North Carolina, the race for control of the state house and state senate is ongoing. Republicans have a huge edge in both. They should hold on, presumably, to those two houses. But which individual races should we be watching the most closely? Which individual races are you watching the most closely?
Sure. I think when you look at the NC House, six races sort of jump to the top as being the most interesting. There's three out in the mountains, incumbents Nathan Ramsey, Tim Moffitt, and Michelle Presnell, all Republicans. A couple here in the Triangle in Wake County, Tom Murray, incumbent Republican, and then the open seat of the late Representative Jim Fulgham in Wake County, and then down in Lee County, Mike Stone. Those are sort of the six most interesting legislative races in the state. And what they all have in common is that they are all Republican held, and you're almost definitely going to see Democratic gains in the legislature this year, simply because Republicans won every toss-up race pretty much in 2012. So they don't have anything else to sort of try to play offense with, because they already won everywhere they could conceivably win in 2012. So if there's any positive aspect of that for Democrats, is that they have a much wider playing field to play offense in this year. But still, the best case scenario is trying to get the Republicans down to 70 or 71 seats in the House so they won't have a veto-proof majority. I don't think anyone thinks Democrats have even a 1% chance of actually getting back a majority.
And I know you're taking a look at North Carolina a little bit more closely this week into next. Do you see any, in the last week, the development in the statewide race for U.S. Senate, the Tillis-Hagen race, is most recently this development with respect to same-sex marriage, the ban being struck down by the courts, and Tillis and Phil Berger both sort of standing up in favor of the ban and pledging to appeal to the higher courts, even though it's been made pretty clear by the higher courts where they're going to fall, and it's not on Tillis and Berger's side, but they're making that appeal anyway. Do you see that fight and the high-profile nature of it as we're getting close to the election? Do you see that moving the dial either way?
I think it's probably a wash. Social conservatives might be a little more motivated to turn out and vote because Tillis is really standing with them on this issue. At the same time, I think to a lot of moderate voters, it looks like a waste of time and a waste of money. So that's just as likely to sort of push undecided voters into the Hagen camp. And I think those two forces probably balance each other out. The North Carolina Senate race seems to be getting a little bit closer. Consistently, the polls have been showing Hagen up by 3 or 4 points, and there were a couple polls out this week where it was tied or where Hagen was only up by 1 point. So it's not a big shift, but I think you are starting to see Republicans come home a little bit more. Overall, this race has always been within a couple points, and I think at the end of the day, it will remain within a couple points. Neither candidate's going to win by a particularly substantial margin, and it really could go either way.
And we'll see more survey numbers from Public Policy Polling later on. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website if you want to check out the latest. And again, Idaho and Kansas, the two most recent races. Tom Jensen, thank you for joining us. And before we let you go, the standard question that we always end with, UNC is playing Georgia Tech on Saturday. This is a game that might be a little bit more winnable than Notre Dame, and Notre Dame was close. So where do you stand on that one?
Well, to switch up my mojo last week, I predicted that the Tar Heels would lose by 50.
That's right, you did.
And that got us to within 7.
Yeah, that's
so this
true.
Week, I'm going to pick that. Us to lose. This week, I'm going to pick us to lose by 60, and that might get us over the top.
So we'll end up winning by 3.
And the last time the Yellow Jackets were in Keenan Stadium, they scored 68 points. So the 60-point margin is actually not totally unrealistic in the real world either, but let's hope that picking us to lose by that much can put us over the top.
All right. Well, let's hope you're right about being wrong. Tom Jensen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.